I had an interesting week, you know, talking about Thanksgiving, and I was able to spend my week down in the hill country hunting. And I just have to tell you a couple of things about that, because, and the reason I mention it is because we're here to be thankful. And this is a time of Thanksgiving. We've just passed Thanksgiving, but you know, thankfulness is something we have to look at and think about. But I was able to sit for several days and watch deer. You think, well, big deal. You get to watch deer. Deer are fascinating. Every one of God's creations, whether it be cows, horses, deer, foxes, coyotes, you name it, dogs, cats, they all have their unique characteristics and unique things that God has designed into them. For that, I just have to give God thanks. He is amazing. Our God is an amazing creator, and I think we have to remember that. And so it's kind of hilarious to me, because right now the rut is on. And if you don't know what the rut is, that's breeding season. And so what will happen is a buck will start hanging out with the doe, because he knows she's going to be coming into estrus at some point. So he'll hang with her for a few days. And it's just really funny to watch. I was watching a buck yesterday morning, and he's with a doe. And here comes another buck. And he lays his ears back, and you know, the hair stands up, and he kind of sidles out there. He's ready to do battle. And the other buck just walks off, didn't want to fight. Anyway, that happened about four times. And you could just see that that whole scenario take place, and then she goes wandering off, and there he goes with her. And but it was just interesting to sit and watch and observe and appreciate the creation, and I'm real thankful for that, appreciative that I've got the opportunity. You know, Thanksgiving is, and I hope, like I said, all of you had a great one. It's an interesting day, and it's interesting to note that Thanksgiving has been celebrated intermittently since 1789, when the Continental Congress requested of the president that there be a mention of that and that something be done. And George Washington was the president. And then it became a federal holiday in 1863, when Abraham Lincoln was president. I find that interesting, that during a time of strife and the greatest sorrow and division in the country, that Thanksgiving was established. But it's a monumental day. So I want to talk about Thanksgiving and thankfulness today. I want us to look at some scriptures and see what the Bible says about that, and how we should be and how God would like us to be. Because, frankly, the spirit of thankfulness we know comes from the heart. It is something from within. That is where we're thankful, is inside with our heart and with our mind. That spirit of thankfulness is a primary characteristic of a Christian. And, man, should be, absolutely. And boy, thankfulness, that spirit, that heart that comes, you know, that we have towards God and towards one another, is a stark contrast to pride, selfishness, worry, and unthankfulness, isn't it? What a contrast. And the truth is, when it comes to Thanksgiving, it is something we should do every day. I hope we do. I hope we give thanks to God every day for something, for life, for truth, for a calling. There's many, many things that we can be thankful to God, and that we do that. And it helps, frankly, fortify our relationship and our reliance on God, even in the toughest times, because we need to be thankful even when we're going through difficulties and trials. And I believe that we should be thankful not only to God, but for one another. Don't you? I am really thankful for all of you, my brothers and my sisters, my family, and I'm thankful for you. I just want you to know how thankful I am for every one of you, and I'm thankful for everybody that I work with. I'm thankful for all of those that I come in contact with. I would hate to be a man alone in the world. Now, sometimes I love being a man alone in the world, but most of the time we're glad to have the relationships. So, you know, the Apostle Paul wrote this, and you can just write this down if you want, Philippians 1:3. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Paul writing that, you know, to the Corinthian church. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Paul was a thankful guy. He set us a great example of thankfulness. That is a statement of love. What a statement that is. And he set an example as a leader, as one who highly valued and was grateful for the people he was caring for. And he expressed it. He expressed it. We have so many reasons to show gratitude, don't we? In our relationships, in our friendships, in our family, in our workmates, and our churchmates. And we live in a time of, frankly, a time of prosperity and safety. Are we thankful for that? I am. We can thank God for every such day as He provides that it's safe, like we have now. It's a blessing that we're able to meet here today in peace and safety. And we know that those, and we should be thankful because we know those conditions could change in a heartbeat, could be over with, could be done. But as I say, thankfulness and gratitude is formed in the heart. And I think it's something we all have to look at ourselves about. Are we that way? And it needs to be expressed. It needs to be expressed. Sometimes us introverts need to get expressive. So for all of you introverts out there, time to get expressive and thank God for many, many things. So what are some of the things that you want to thank God for today? Maybe we can think about that. Turn with me, if you would, as we start looking at scriptures over here to Ephesians chapter 5. What does God think about this? What does the scripture say about thankfulness? What is our mindset? How are we supposed to be towards God? How are we supposed to be towards one another in this way? In Ephesians 5, and we'll start here, let's start here in verse 18. We'll read down a few verses. It says, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." There is a good key, that we be filled with the Spirit. And then verse 19 says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. How many of you do that? I ask that question because my mother was forever singing and humming. She just had that. She had this. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. She was that way. I always admired that about my mama. I love that about her. And then verse 20 says, here we go, giving thanks when? Always. Giving thanks always. For what? For all things. Unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So there it is. You know, there is a directive to us from Ephesians that we are to give thanks. For all things. Always. And, you know, to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, gratitude is a neat thing. Don't you love it when people express gratitude and appreciation and thankfulness? I do, and I need to do more of it. I want to be this way too, to be able to express those things. And that kind of attitude, that kind of expression, that offering is really precious in God's sight when we are appreciative and thankful and can offer those things. We become richer when we're able to express it to Him. You extroverts have got something over on us introverts. You can express it easier than we can, but we all have to learn to, you know, to come to really express it and show our love and appreciation and thankfulness to God. Always. And daily. In everything that we do. Because God loves a thankful and a grateful heart. He just loves it. He loves that. He loves us being that way. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Actually, what that means is do not be anxious about anything. And that is the translation found in the non-inspired version, NIV. I'm sorry, no, NIV. my joke about the NIV. It's not the non-inspired version, that's just Wynn's comment. But in the NIV it says, do not be anxious about anything. We don't need to be. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How about that? With thanksgiving. I love God's approach on this. I love the approach of the Apostle Paul because he was so instructive and helpful to us in this way with many, many verses about being thankful and appreciative. I don't care what our state is. We still can be thankful and appreciative. I don't care what kind of trials we're going through. We can still be thankful and appreciative. Paul said, I have learned that in whatsoever state I am to be there with content. He could deal with it. And I believe that we can deal with our difficulties better if we are thankful and appreciative to God. It helps us to be able to deal. None of us like some of the circumstances we're in. We don't like ill health and some of those difficulties. But maybe we can help, God will help us with that as we offer thanksgiving and appreciation to Him in our difficult circumstances. So frankly, I believe this, that everything in our lives flows from the goodness of God to us. Don't you agree? He is the one. All of that comes out of His love for us. That comes from our God. How can we not be appreciative and thankful to Him for all He does for us? Everything good in my life has come from Him. Everything good in all of our lives, is from Him. It's been initiated by God. He is my sustainer and my rock. I look to Him. I trust in Him and I love Him and I appreciate Him to every extent that I can. His generosity is overwhelming. His blessings limitless. His love is endless. That's our God. And all blessings come from Him. Turn with me to James chapter 1. A familiar verse, but at this moment and at this time when we're talking about thankfulness and we're in the week of Thanksgiving, this has special meaning, I believe, in James chapter 1 and verse 17, which says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Where do our gifts come from? God. All of the good ones. From above and comes down from the Father of lights with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I love that about God. He is faithful always. I'm thinking about, let's think about plant in a garden. He is faithful in, He's made seeds, we plant seeds and we get plants. He doesn't change that. We have things that are always consistent. Seasons. We depend on the seasons, don't we? Thank God for that. We don't have many here in Texas. Not like some of you up north. We have summer and fall because we really don't get winter too much. I mean, we complain if we get down to 2 days of 20 degrees, So we don't have all of the seasons. Now, John, where you're from, you had a lot more of the seasons. But all of this comes from God. He's consistent. There is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He's always consistent. He's set things in motion. They're always going to be that way. It's an amazing thing when you spend any time thinking about it. So all of our good things come from God, and I love Him for that, and I appreciate that. Frankly, no one has favored you and me more than God. We're favored. You're favored. And we can be thankful to God for that. Everything good that we have is from Him, and That's the reason, because He has given us all these things that we should and can and need to be grateful to Him. We've received His grace. We're recipients of grace. We're recipients of forgiveness. We're recipients of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we can have sins forgiven. Man, how good is that? Are you thankful to God for that? Am I thankful for all of these great things? And are we thankful for all of the spiritual blessings that come our way from God, from them, the Father and the Son? because all of the spiritual blessings come from them. And, you know, without the Holy Spirit, we can't comprehend and understand. So I thank God for that as well today. We can show thankfulness and gratitude if we think about it. And I bring this message today because I think we need to stop and think about it and be people that are, you know, show those signs, those, you know, be people that show this primary characteristic of a Christian, which is thankfulness, appreciation, and gratitude. And, you know, we can show it. Can we show it if we're poor and don't have much? I mean, that isn't any of us. We live in an affluent world. I was thinking back, you know, a generation when I was growing up as a kid, we were really glad to get running water in the house. We were really thankful to get electricity because, I remember the days when we had, you know, the kerosene lamps on the wall, and that's what we had for light in the house. Then we got electricity. We had a wood stove, but I sure like central heat and air, don't you? Especially we like air in Texas. Cool air in Texas. We appreciate that. But you know, just think of all of the things that God has granted to us so that we can show our appreciation and gratitude for. And we don't have to have things. In fact, 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6:6. Godliness with contentment is great gain. And when we have godliness and we are content, that is because we have a heart that's humble and a spirit that is thankful. And that is a really good thing for us as Christians and as His children. I know there's a lot of us in this room that are challenged with health issues. There's a lot of you out there on the web, watching in on the webcast today, that are challenged with health issues. We read the prayer list of so many who are challenged with health issues, and we need to remember them. But even when we are challenged with health issues, we can still be thankful and appreciative and turn it over to God and trust in Him to help us through our difficulties. I know that difficulties don't last forever. God is only allows us to go through some of those things for a period of time. So let's remember to be that way, even with health issues. It does say that we are to give thanks to God at all times, which is in all circumstances and all difficulties. Whether we lose husbands or wives or whether we have health issues, we can still be that way. And even if we are experiencing heavy trials and difficulties, we must trust and be thankful. So here's one thing I'm thankful for. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to mention this one thing and then I'm going to read some Psalms about a man, written by a man and expressed by a man who had a thankful heart. And I wish that I could be more like him, and I hope we all would want to be more like David as well. But in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, I'm telling you before I read this, with a grateful heart and much appreciation, I am thankful for what we're about to read. Because it says, according as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Wow. Through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Are you thankful for that? Like I am, I mean, the calling. I am so thankful that He has given unto all of us all things that pertain unto life. We know that there is eternal life waiting for us if we are following Him and obeying Him. We know that. There is a future awaiting us beyond our wildest imaginations, as my mom used to say when I was a kid. God has things prepared for you beyond your wildest imaginations. Yeah, I am thankful for that. And it's through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. It's through that knowledge and that understanding. I am thankful. I am so thankful for this calling. I am thankful to be rescued and redeemed from myself. Aren't you? Because without that, I would be corrupt. Well, I am corrupt. Fallen. But I'm just saying, I'd be walking in a way that would be certainly unacceptable to God. And we have great and exceeding great and precious promises. So, I am thankful for that today. I bet if you started writing all the things you're thankful about and for, the list would be long. Might be pages and pages and pages and pages. If we just stop and think about it. And express it. Express it. Write it down. And then we remember when we express them when we write it. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 9 and verse 1. Psalms chapter 9. This is a psalm of David. David, I love David. He's one of my favorite people. Because he was a man after God's own heart. He was able to express in words for us how we should be talking to God. That's what I think. But how wonderful. But in verse 1 of Psalms 9, verse 1 says, I will praise you, O Eternal, with my whole heart. I will show forth all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. And you know, just you can go on and read the rest of the chapter, but aren't those special words? I have found this. If you have difficulty expressing appreciation and thankfulness, go to the Scripture and just find some of these in Psalms. Find them and read them. Because if we repeat them, then they become the way we are in our heart and in our expression. And all of us do it individually and a little bit differently, but wow, I love the way he expressed things. Turn with me over to chapter 100, Psalms 100. And we'll read this whole chapter here, five verses. Psalms chapter 100. Of all people on the earth, we should be the happiest because of what God is doing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord Eternal, all you lands. Serve the Eternal with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Eternal, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. I would know that quite well. There is no way that I could make a physical body as perfectly. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, as the Scripture says, as God has made us. There's no way. Yes. So I am thankful that He has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And He's a good shepherd, isn't He? He's a good God. He takes care of us. He's a good shepherd, and we are His sheep. Enter into His gates with a sad countenance and depressed. Is that what that says? No, it says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, and be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Eternal is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. I believe we ought to keep this in mind when we appear before Him. You know, when we actually come in before His presence, when we're in His courts and we come before Him. Maybe like in Revelation 4, where the 24 elders are forever bowing down, saying, you know, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, the One who is and the One who was. They're always giving praise to God before His throne. He doesn't force that. That is the way. That's the way they are. So, when we come before Him, literally, let's remember this, that we come before Him with thankfulness and appreciation, and that we enter into His courts with thanksgiving and with praise, and that we be thankful to Him, and that we bless His name, His holy name. Unfortunately, we sometimes forget about that, don't we? We forget about all the good things that God has done for us. All the good things that He's promised to us. All the things that He has planned for us. All that He has, you know, designed and engineering for us for the future. And we lose focus and we become, frankly, ungrateful and unappreciative. Just the way we are in this stinking, rotten, filthy flesh. You know, this isn't the end result. And we become gripey, and that's gripey, and, you know, shame on us. Shame on us. I believe we should be very, very appreciative and thankful people. But the Bible warns us about that, and I think we should read this for just a minute, just as a reminder, over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll read again first five verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and this is a warning to Timothy from Paul about the time that they lived in. And if it was happening then, do you think it's not happening now?
I mean, these are the last days like it was in those days.
But it says this, verse 1. This know also that in the last days shall perilous times shall come. And perilous means fierce or difficult. I believe we live in difficult times. Even though we are in relative peace, we are in a difficult circumstance. You know why? Because we have an enemy that is against us. Everything we have is against us. Laws are designed against us. Laws are not designed for Sabbath keeping. They're designed for Sunday keeping. They're not designed for we have all kinds of things against us. So it's a difficult, it's a perilous time, and a time we have to make choices. A time that we have to figure out how we're going to walk. You know, and, you know, how we're going to live our lives, especially the way it is for young people. They have choices to make and decisions to make. Their future is ahead. It says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Huh. Ever see any of that going on? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Ah, and this word, unthankful. Unthankful. Unholy. Boy, you sure see a lot of that going on. Without natural affection. Because of sin and because of things like that, there's a lot of unnatural stuff that goes on. And I'm just saying that people are afraid to give hugs for they might be accused of sexual harassment. That is baloney. We should give hugs. It should be in the right way. I am not going to be afraid to give a hug for fear of that, although I might give you a side hug, okay, just so you'll know. But how ridiculous is that? Because of unnatural affection, because of we have an enemy and those things have taken place. Truce breakers. Is your word good? False accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Politics, stay out of it. Because on both sides you have despisers. I'm just saying, okay? I don't think Christ would have been a Democrat or a Republican, right? He would have honored God. He would have stood for God. He's not on a party. Be careful. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So we're warned. This is a warning that Paul issues. And it's for us, for our benefit, for us to read, for us to be able to respond to. And we live in a society of unthankful and ungrateful people. And all of these other characteristics are all around us. That's why it's perilous, the times that we live in. People don't want to acknowledge God. I can't believe that. I know some young people who, a hairdresser of mine, doesn't want to acknowledge God. Says he's an atheist, but I don't believe him. Not really. He just doesn't know God. He doesn't know God like we know God. And if you know God, there's no way you'd ever deny Him. He is wonderful and He's loving. But, you know, that's what we have. People that won't acknowledge God. And they won't even give Him credit as the Creator. No, we have to have the Big Bang Theory. You know, and that evil Evolution, or evolution, evolution, is how it all got started.
We know better than that. We know God is an awesome creator and an awesome designer, but I'm just saying we have that around her and He sustains all things. Every day the sun comes up, you know. Thank God for that. Now we may not see it because of clouds, but hey, He gives us winter and He gives us rain. Those are good things too. God is good. He is wonderful. And I can't believe there are those who are no longer thankful, you know, that aren't even thankful for Christ's sacrifice. But then I can understand that. I grew up in California when there wasn't much godliness. You know, moving to Texas, man, there's four churches on every corner. You know what I mean? This is the Bible Belt. There is a lot more of that. And there's less, you know, of denying Christ. Hey. And this bothers me. When people think they can save themselves, that they don't need God, that they're going to live their life and they're going to be okay. You ever met people like that? There's a lot of us that were that way, and there's a lot of people out there. We can't save ourselves. They act like they can. It's ridiculous. There's no appreciation. And that they'll make it on their own terms. Are we going to make it on our own terms? No. No, we're going to make it because we believe in God's terms. And He has set terms, and we're going to follow them. And, you know, it's sad to me that even the practice, the common practice of common courtesy is disappearing. I asked Kim this morning about, we used to have a series of books called The Primers. Anybody ever read those? These were the school books for kids many years ago. And they were all about kindness, honesty, character, integrity. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you. Open the door for elders. Just a lot of common courtesy that was taught. I love it. Wish it was back. But what happened to please and thank you? So, I think we live in a world of selfish people. I think that we are selfish too. And do we have manners? Do you open the door for others? I love that. I love it when it happens to me. It happened to me coming back yesterday. I'm walking into a convenience store and a guy opens the door. Go right ahead. Thank you. Love that. I love to see it in practice. We don't want to be a bunch of spoiled children who treat God and each other as, you know, if it were something that, you know, you owe me. We don't need that kind of attitude. Romans, there's a warning given about this kind of mentality in Romans chapter 1, and one that we should avoid at all costs. In Romans chapter 1, I guess you were on this chapter last week, right? On Bible study in Romans 2 today. So I don't have to go into too much explanation, but I want to read these verses 18 through 21 as a reminder to us of how we should not be. It says, because verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. One of the things about our thankfulness and appreciation to God is we recognize humbly that we have to uphold truth in the right way, according to the way God says it, the way God teaches us to. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. That's what I was talking about earlier. I'm amazed at all of the creation. I'm amazed at all of the things that God makes. I am in awe. And all of us should go spend at least 5 minutes, preferably 5 hours, just sitting out in the woods somewhere and watching all that God has done. Watch the birds. Look at all the varieties. Look at the squirrels. See their tendencies and what they do. Watch the animals. Look at the flowers. Look at the leaves. Look at the different leaves on every tree. And that every year it comes back an oak, if it's an oak. It's amazing. And all of these things shout that God is God and that He is the Maker and the Creator. Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Hey, we are without excuse. I hope we often and regularly on a daily basis offer to God thanksgiving and just tell Him what we know about Him. Tell Him how much we love Him as a Creator. Tell Him how much we appreciate all that He is doing for us. And just saying, thank you for this day. Thank you for sunshine. Thank you for rain. Okay, God, we've had enough rain. Can we stop for a while? Sometimes we have to. But thankful to God always. It says that, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So there's a warning to us, Let's be thankful. Let's be appreciative. Let's be loving, kind, thankful, and appreciative, grateful Christians and people, not only to God, but to one another. And we are told to be thankful no matter what our circumstance. And, we read that in 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 16, 17, and 18 says, rejoice evermore. Now this is the way introverts talk. Two words, three words. Extroverts would be four paragraphs in explanation, but here's what Paul says. He says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. That we give thanks. It's His will that we give thanks. In Christ Jesus concerning you. When we go through hard times and we're going through difficulties, it gives God a chance to do something special in our lives if we will turn to Him and be thankful to Him. Psalms 34:18, I'm not going to turn there, says that the eternal is near unto those of a broken heart. If you got a broken heart, you've had a severe trial and difficulty, God is there. He's near. If you'll let Him be. I want to read this one in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's back a few pages. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 7, we'll read through verse 10, says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, which are given to me in a Unless I should be exalted above measure to the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You ever thought about that? Maybe some of the trials and difficulties we get is because if we didn't have them, we would think mighty highly of ourselves, saying, God, look at me. I'm all well and good and doing all these things. And God says, well, don't do that because we're exalting ourselves above measure. It can happen, so we have trials. We have difficulties. For this thing I besought the Eternal three times that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow. You mean we are made perfect and we're strengthened when we're in difficulties and trials? Yes. And we ought to be thankful for that. Thankful, not that we're going necessarily through the trial, but that God loves us enough to help us through and help us to learn what He wants us to know. That's what we should be thankful for. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Take hold of it. Take hold of that power when you're going through those difficulties. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Because He knows. Do you think He liked whatever that was that He was ask God three times to heal him for? No, he did. He some said it was bad eyes. Others say it was spirit. The evil Satan's messengers, evil spirits that bothered him. I don't know. He doesn't really identify that. I mean, we can have opinions about it. But the bottom line is, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am made strong in Christ. Made strong in Christ. So, God wants us to find something to be thankful about no matter where we are and what's going on in our lives. And it's easy to be thankful when everything is good, but when it's not so good, we still should be thankful. I'm thankful to be living. I mean, a year ago, November the 1st, I could have been dead. It was so, when I woke up from that fall, it was like the resurrection. I'm just going to say, you wake up and it's like nothing had ever happened. I mean, it was just like a new day. It was such a surreal thing, but I could have been dead. I could have just arisen and, awakened in the resurrection, but I'm thankful to be alive. Thankful to be here. I'm thankful that we live in the United States of America. I know there's a lot of problems and difficulties, but we have freedoms like you cannot believe. You have the ability to go where you want to go and, do what you want to do and within the law, obviously. But we have freedom. We have, overall, the frame of the Constitution is wonderful. It's great. It's set up. It's a good thing. We live in a great country. I'm sorry for those that want to change it, and I'm sorry for those that misuse it. But I'm thankful to be here. thankful that we're here in safety today. I already mentioned that. I'm thankful that God is a forgiving God. I'm thankful for the sunshine this morning, too. I love it. I was also thankful last night for cool weather. I love sleeping in cool weather, so I was thankful for that. We can be thankful for many things. We should remember that whatever trials we're going through will not last forever. If you think what you're going through is going to last, it will not. He never promised any of us that we wouldn't go through tough times, did he? He never promised that we wouldn't. What he did promise was that when we do go through them, he would be there with us and he would help us through. He'd help us bear up and help us find a way to make it through and to bear through the difficulties. But maybe that's not our issue and maybe that's not our problem. Maybe our problem is that when things are going good and well for us, that we don't thank him then. I mean, how do we act once a prayer is answered? Are we thankful and appreciative when God answers a prayer? What are we going to do then? How will we respond? Are we going to forget that God has always been there for us and is there any way when we're going through a difficulty and he answers a prayer that we should get up and walk away without saying thank you? Boy, I hope not. He warned the children of Israel of this in Deuteronomy. Great lesson for us. Remember, 1 Corinthians 10 tells us that all of those things that happened to them are for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world have come, for us to learn from. In Deuteronomy 6, and this just goes to, and I want to read verses 10 through 12, because if we're not careful, we can be like this. Verse 10, Deuteronomy 6. It shall be that when the Eternal your God shall have brought you into the land which he swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities. Notice this. Great and goodly cities which you did not build, and houses full of all good things which you did not furnish, and wells digged, which you did not dig yourself, vineyards planted, and olive trees, which you didn't plant. And when you shall have eaten and be full, this is a tendency of human nature now, beware lest you forget the eternal. How could you forget him? Well, unthankful, unappreciative, unexpressive to him for the great things he's done. You know, beware lest you forget the eternal which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, that you fear the eternal your God and serve him and swear by his name. That's a good warning, isn't it? We can't forget. We have it so good, we can't forget to thank God and be appreciative. There is to me, a very poignant story in the book of Luke, chapter 17, which I'll read as I wrap up here, begin to wrap up. Luke, chapter 17. And I think it goes to this point that I was just reading, about the, do we have appreciation and thankfulness? And what if you're a leper? I want to read the story about the healing of the 10 lepers. And before we read it, I have a question. Are you the one? Or are you the nine? Nine. Are you the one or are you the nine? Now let's read the story. Came to pass that as he went to Jerusalem and as he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And that, the reason they were standing afar off is they had to. That was the law. They were restricted. They couldn't be right there because they have a disease that could be spread. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Which is what we would all beg and cry out. If I saw Jesus out there, knew that he was coming through, and knew I was a leper, wouldn't you want, and you knew that he, you'd heard the stories, you knew that he was one who healed, wouldn't you say, hey, Jesus, hey, woo, remember me, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You realize all that's being said in that verse? That is a jam-packed verse. Okay, so they saw him and they said unto him, they saw him, so he saw them, and he says, already he's made a decision to heal him. He sees him. I'm going to heal him. He made that decision. And he said, go show yourselves to the priests. This was a test for them, but it was, he didn't say to them, yes, I'm going to heal you. No, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. So they had to walk on a little bit of faith here, didn't they? A little bit. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. How would you, you're heading to the priest and all of a sudden all those scales and things just disappear and fall off of you and you've got fresh skin like a baby, you know. Man. They were healed. And then verse 15, unbelievable. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Really? Only one? And he fell on his face at Jesus at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. He wasn't even a Jew. And Jesus answered, said, were there not 10? Where are the 9? There are not found that returns to give God glory, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise and go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Again, I ask, would we be the one or would we be the 9? We can't forget always to thank God. What about us? What about us when we receive blessings and answers to prayers? Are we like the 1 or are we like the 9? We're going to come back and say, thank you, God. You know, the Bible is full of stories like this. Their Bible's full of stories of those who had reasons to be thankful for God and showed it. And then there's, the Bible is also full of examples of those who were not thankful and ended up missing out on what God had in store for them. And I don't want to be one of those, do you? No, we don't want to be. So let's express our thankfulness to God. And let's express our thankfulness to one another. Because we are so blessed to have each other, and we are so blessed to have God and all these blessings. I mean, thankfulness that God is our provider, and that, you know, it also, when we have a heart of thankfulness, it prevents a complaining spirit. There's so many blessings that come from being thankful. Thankfulness creates a humble and positive outlook on our lives. So write these down if you want to go read some good ones, some good verses, but go read. This is, again, the attitude and heart of David in Psalms. Psalms 30, verse 11 and 12. Psalms 27, verses 3 through 6. Psalms 50, verses 14 through 16. You know, and then Psalms 50 was David's repentance and prayer. You know, repentance and prayer after the baby died, after his, affair with Bathsheba and killing of Uriah, and, you know, what a humble prayer that is. And then Psalms 95, which says, let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. So, all we have comes from Him. Everything we have is from Him. And that's the reason that we should have and can have a grateful heart. So, let's be thankful to Him today that He's formed us and made us and given us breath. And let's be thankful to Him to this day, not only for this day, but because this is a Sabbath day. He's given us the Sabbath. What an awesome day. And what it pictures in the future, a time of rest. Be thankful that He's working in each of us to become all that He wants us to be. There's so much that we can be thankful to God for the forgiveness of our sins, for peace. Peace that passes all understanding. So let's conclude over here in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, 15. And we'll read this verse, and I will end with this. It's been nice to be here today. Wonderful to be with all of you on this wonderful Sabbath day. And I am thankful for that. But verse 15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let's be the thankful people that God is looking for us to be. Have a great rest of the Sabbath.